You're listening to the Payments.com podcast with Karen Webster, CEO of MPD, and special guest Kareem Ahmad, EVP of Global Product and Innovation at TSYS.
Yeah, I'm a pretty prosaic guy when it comes to things like, you know, big words like innovation. To me, the core of it is solving problems in new ways. So it is really nothing more than that. And if the problems are meaningful and the ways in which you solve those problems are imaginative and effective, then all of a sudden, you know, somebody makes a lot of money or gets famous, and then it's called innovation. But at its core, it's never been anything more than just solving stuff that gets in the way of people living their lives the way they want to lead them.
So who do you think's done it well? Forget payments for a second. Who do you think has done a good job of solving problems in new ways?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, if you ask me sort of who my favorites are, right? I'm an avid cyclist, and so you've got a company like Shimano that has actually done a fantastic job of taking gear that was developed for ultra high-end cyclists and then filtering it down to, you know, slightly overweight guys like myself who like to get out on the weekend. And the reason that I think that that innovation exists is because a couple of different things, right? First of all, it makes the ride more pleasurable, so I'm going to ride more. The second is it's taking something that is a prohibitively expensive technology at its inception and then driving out cost or sort of stripping it back to the basics that makes it affordable and within reach to a lay user like myself. And then the third is just continuing to turn that wheel of saying, okay, what's the next problem or the next sort of next option we have to make something better. So, you know, in a sort of very strange way, you know, I think we see it all around us and we've come starting to kind of, you know, take it for granted, whether it's a company like that or, you know, the technology providers who have sort of figured out how to make APIs talk to, you know, stitch at different applications together. I think it's sort of pervasive. It's just and good innovation, you know, makes the idea and the execution of that idea look easy, whereas underneath it, I think we all know that it really isn't.
Yep. So let's now drill into payments, which I know is your has been your stomping grounds for a while in a variety of capacities. I mean, certainly your background's very diverse. What do you think that financial services and payments overall has overlooked in trying to live up to the definition of innovation as you describe it, which is solving problems in new ways?
So I think the overlooked part is driven by a few different factors that are endemic to the industry. The first is it's a regulated industry, you know, a heavily regulated industry, and I think that gets in the way of experimentation, you know, for good or for bad reasons. That is a factor of the financial services industry. So it's easy to experiment with software in other parts of our world. If your word processing software doesn't work quite right, you know, 20% of the time, that's okay. So that's not okay because in a regulated industry. So I think that's one aspect of it. The second, quite honestly, is I think the industry for a long time has held customers captive through a variety of different mechanisms, whether it's the fact that you have your money in a bank and they are, as soon as you do that, you are then beholden to that institution for all kinds of other services, or now increasingly you have your data sort of captive in a particular application or the particular institution. That has been the basis of competition rather than true problem-solving features, things that, again, make life easier for me. And that's disappearing now. Increasingly, those walls are coming down by virtue of regulation. If you look at what the open access mandates in Europe are doing, or technology that the more creative and the more sort of disruptive financial institutions are adopting. So to me, the change that we're seeing is a function of those sources of competitive advantage being destroyed.
So how are you going to take that perspective and, you know, what you talked about, which is the healthy respect for regulation, recognizing all that it represents as a strength and oftentimes as a constraint, And creating this environment of open access, yet not regulator driven, but from a competitive advantage driven culture. How are you going to help the stakeholders of the TSYS platform live up to that definition of innovation?
So I think we're in a really interesting time for a company like TSYS. On the one hand, the customers that we serve are facing a lot of competitive pressure. So every bank is now in a scramble to grow. And that competitive pressure is coming at a time when the user behaviors, so whether it's their cardholders or it's their account holders, the behaviors of what those constituents are expecting are changing dramatically. So we keep talking about the millennials as being the largest generation yet in the U.S., for example, and their expectations being so completely different than what the prior generations have held. That's, I think, a case in point. So that's one defining factor of where we are today. The second is all of the new technologies that we now have available to us that we have to find a way to make compliant with regulation and to find a way to make, reliable, like it's got to work at sort of 5-9s efficiency. But that is a second defining factor. And then as a provider to the industry, as a provider of services and technology to the industry, TSYS sits right in the middle of that set of sort of enabling factors and has to make them come together to create products that our bank customers, for example, are going to want to buy because it helps them compete more efficiently. I think that's a unique opportunity because we are actually increasingly being seen by our customers as the source of expertise. Mm-hmm. And as a source of answers to where do you think we need to go next, because they are finding it harder and harder to come to those answers themselves. Mm-hmm. So that is the opportunity that I see at TSYS.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, because there's so much coming at them, the regulators are making it increasingly complicated to think about where the open spaces are for innovation, and I'm sure that that's part of the reason for the outreach, but the other part is really also being a little lacking clarity about what consumers really do want, because I think there isn't just one consumer. There are multiple personas of consumers that are floating around the space, with the common denominator being mobile. My 81-year-old father mm-hmm. pays his bills mm-hmm. on a mobile app. I was like, you do? I couldn't believe it. But that is, that's the common denominator, but there's the trade-off between responding to consumers' needs and anticipating what consumers are going to want. How do you help banks think about that, and how will you help TSYS bring that to the banks?
So as an industry, I think we have a lot of catch-up to do. So, perhaps not so interesting, but pragmatic answer is we've probably got 3 to 5 years worth of catch up to do to get to the point as a banking industry, for example, to get to where the rest of sort of the software industry has gotten to. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, I think the geographic play is quite interesting. I'm from India. I watch what's going on there as a function of the lack of infrastructure, mm-hmm. which creates an opportunity for financial institutions and technology providers to leapfrog what we have in North America today. So whether that's money transmission or authentication protocols or the use of mobile money, that has, in India and China has gone in some regards a lot further than what the U.S. and Canada and Western Europe are actually seeing. So I think there are models out in the world today that represent sort of the bleeding edge, if you will, that we don't have implemented in North America or in Western Europe, so markets that TSYS is sort of core to TSYS. So, and in taking those opportunities and implementing them, in the way that they need to be implemented in these markets, we've got lots of models in front of us that give us ideas of where we want to go. Once we get there, then I think we fall back on process, right? You fall back on this notion of building muscle memory within an organization, of observing your customers, watching what they're struggling with, bringing that information back in-house and saying, okay, how do we solve this next problem now? Mm-hmm. So what will the next problems be? We sort of see, you know, boundaries continuing to erase between countries, people becoming much more mobile. And so cross-border remittance, cross-border payments, the infrastructure to enable free movement of goods and services, that is absolutely where the next frontier is going to be. And there's lots and lots of problems to be solved there. So that's where I see in 3 to 5 years, a lot of the heft and the investment shifting, whereas today it's a lot of it is around consumer payments, as an example.
So what's the low-hanging fruit that you see? You know, when you look across the industry, you know, what are the things that you say, this is easy, all things considered. We can kind of take these things off the list quickly.
So, you know, let's distinguish between easy and obvious, right? I think I'm hard-pressed to come by easy, the world we live in. So let's talk about obvious. So first of all, I think fraud and risk management for payments is obvious. Mm-hmm. There are lots and lots of trends that suggest that this is a problem that's growing faster than the actual underlying business is growing. Mm-hmm. So take, you know, online fraud and the pace at which card-not-present fraud is growing today. So that's an area where we see tremendous applicability for some of the new technologies, aka, you know, machine learning, artificial intelligence, to play a huge role. And we're playing at that space right now. The next one is around something like application fraud and originations. Here again, you know, it's obvious that that's going to continue to occupy a lot of mind share, because people are going to want to buy services, you know, via mobile, via, you know, all kinds of other sort of connected devices coming down the road, which you can't even imagine right now. And so the world of a paper application or an online application followed by some kind of affidavit process is sort of disappearing rapidly. That's the second one, which I think there's a lot of opportunity to solve. But the good news there is lots of different technologies that will help you solve that. And then the third one that we're working on really, really hard is the whole digitization of customer experiences. And the reason that, you know, that's not such a, you know, revolutionary one from a perspective of a consumer experience, that's sort of here and now, but the impact to our bank customers in terms of the degrees of the amount of cost that allows them to take out, which they can then reinvest in delivering exceptional experiences elsewhere. That's that has the potential to be really sort of transformational to a lot of banking businesses, and that's one where we see that's another obvious one that we need to be moving out on.
So are there? I mean, those all sound obvious, also transformational, but certainly things that need to be addressed sooner rather than later. What are the things that you see on the horizon that you mm-hmm. believe need to be invested in today, but perhaps won't have an impact, you know, for the next 3 to 5 years?
So I actually have a pretty strong conviction that the world of card-based credit and card-based transactions is time-bound. If you look at the discrete functions that a card product, or whether it's plastic or mobile today, performs, and the construct within which those functions exist, right, the four-party model or sort of card networks, issuers, acquirers, my strong sort of feeling is that ecosystem is going to disappear, and that in 5 years we're going to be looking at a whole host of non-financial institution actors who are enabling customers to transact, to borrow money, to engaging them with different mechanisms to drive loyalty. And that ultimately is the world for which, you know, a company like TSYS needs to prepare. So we have, 3 or 5 years to sort of prepare for it, but you're already starting to see sort of leading indicators of that happening, whether it's in terms of, the alternative lenders trying to figure out underwriting models to lend more efficiently than banks do. You're looking at non sort of financial institutions, places where customers hang out, Facebook, Twitter, right? Trying to figure out how they actually enable customers to transact with one another, consumers to transact with one another. We're seeing sort of alternative loyalty models emerging from other industries, and you know, so ultimately you're seeing these services coming, you know, from places that are not banks or typical financial institutions. I actually think that that is increasingly where a lot of the innovation is going to happen, and where the generation of consumers that hold a lot of the buying power are very comfortable living today. So I watch my kids and the way that they interact with those media and those properties, and it's completely different than what, you know, the way I think of the world.
And do you think that those interactions are characteristic of where your kids are in their life cycle, or do you think that this is training them to interact with those places as trusted intermediaries for financial services?
So it depends where you sit. If you are a provider of those, and let's say you're a social media company today, right? The notion that your user base trusts you is core to who you are. And every time that, you know, that when you see that trust being betrayed, right, you see people sort of, you know, migrate away from it, and that trust is core to that interaction. But the other thing I would say is I don't think that this next generation thinks of financial services as being as sacred, as privileged, as sort of secluded a set of interactions. They're growing up in a world where, you know, they're living their lives in the public world. So if you look at Venmo and the social aspects of Venmo, people are very comfortable transacting in public in ways that, you know, that certainly I'm not, right? And so I think this notion of financial services as a walled garden that you are, you know, only the select few have access to, I think that's disappearing really, really fast.
Yeah, and I think it needs to. I think I think what will be interesting to see happen is the role of banks in the unbundling, I guess, of financial services. Mm-hmm. But at the core of it all, there has to be some bank somewhere doing something to enable the funds and funds, you know, storing funds and moving funds, and it is going to, I think, be a very interesting and disruptive evolution. I think 3 years and 5 years may be a little short of a time horizon, but I definitely think the next decade will show some very interesting shifts and transformations for sure.
It'll be interesting to see how the open access mandates in UK and Europe play out, right? So now you theoretically have a framework within which that unbundling and innovation should occur. You're increasingly seeing other mechanisms for transaction, right, other than card, coming into play. So real-time clearing being sort of an important enabler. We'll sort of see what the sort of smart, innovative people do with this, right? Because the infrastructure, is sort of, the gates are now open.
Yep. And I think it depends on where you are in the world too. I loved your focus on, the developing world where, leapfrog is a great way to look at inspiring the way that things could be done. What is it like when you don't have infrastructure? Well, the infrastructure becomes the device you have in your hand. That really is the infrastructure. And what can you do when that becomes the foundation for how business is done? So interesting time to be in the space, certainly not boring. And, it sounds like you've got a very full plate and you're a very enthusiastic participant in shaping the innovation agenda for Thesis. That's awesome.
I sort of love the space that we're in. I love the opportunities that the company has. And I love the energy and the commitment that the team is bringing to it. This is sort of the perfect place for me personally to be sitting at this point in time.